Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Raul Valenzuela.
Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, this is going to conduct your hearing.
That's it.
Okay, the honorable... Okay, can you hear me okay, sir?
I'm trying to see if I can turn it up.
Okay. Have you been able to turn it up yet? I can hear you fine.
Okay, I can hear you, sir.
Okay, now the honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, so just hold on to the phone, sir. And you will hear the honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Okay, Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes.
Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Okay, my name is Charles Roy Valenzuela, 137249.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on February 26th. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Signing that form? Okay. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Or you can represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself, sir?
I'll represent myself.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, all the way at the end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Turner, and there he is on screen now. He is a parole officer with Department of Corrections, so we'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing.
Okay,
sir? So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Valenzuela and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, sir, I'm going to read each of these allegations to you, and I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, sir?
Okay.
All right. So we'll start phase one. And the first allegation is that you're in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 18th, 2019, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated January 1st, 2019 to February 1st, 2019. Mr. Valenzuela, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay, sir.
Yes.
The next allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana without permission from your assigned, I'm going to guess there's some words missing, parole officer, on or about January 18th, 2019, per the task lab report dated January 19th, 2019. Mr. Valenzuela, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay, sir. Thank you. And the third and final allegation is you were in violation of condition 13B, as demonstrated by your failure to remain at your approved residence each night unless prior approval was given by your supervising officer on or about January 29th, 2019. Mr. Valenzuela, is that true or false?
Yes, that's true.
That's true as well? Okay, sir. I'm going to make a motion then to pass us from phase one to phase two. And my motion will be that based on Mr. Valenzuela's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal laser company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by Ms. L, seconded Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important one anyway. That's the one where we determine if you get reinstated or revoked. So stay right on the phone there. I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So we'll be right back to talk with you some more in just a minute. Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Valenzuela was released from ADC custody on 7/31/2018. And arrested on 2/1/2019 by ADC on a tech warrant. No new charges are noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 2-1-2019 with a CSED of 5-1-2019, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 1996, commitment B, count 2, sexual conduct with a minor, 5 years. Prior convictions, 1996, commitment A, count 1, sexual conduct with a minor, 15 years. This is his second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4-4, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Eastside 9th Street, Phoenix, Arizona. No prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is significant with rioting, drugs, and violence noted. Other arrest, 1992, theft of vehicle, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, burglary, second degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, burglary, first degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, assault with a deadly weapon, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, theft, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, kidnapping, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, sexual abuse, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, sexual assault, Arizona juvenile detention. 1997, sexual conduct with a minor, Arizona unknown. He has a GB score of G5, V5. He is a level 3 sex offender that is registrable, notifiable, SVP reviewable. Victim was a 13-year-old male.
Thank you, sir. All right, back to you, Mr. Valenzuela. We have a written summary of what happened while you were on supervision, and I'll just go over that with you. It looks like you were released to redeemed outreach on Jefferson in Phoenix, but you were discharged there for a little while, and then you were homeless for a few days, and then they took you back. Why did you get discharged the first time? What happened?
Because I got into with another person that was there on parole.
Okay, you got into a fight with him, a physical fight?
Well, not really a physical fight, but it almost led to a physical fight.
Okay.
This guy was messing with me, and I was trying to avoid it as best as I could, and
okay.
Kept going, and I finally, started cussing out and stuff.
Okay.
We were at a job, doing a job, and they dismissed me for that.
Okay. But then they took you back after like 3 days, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was talking to them and I was asking them to please give me another chance because I didn't want to fail. I was trying to complete everything as best as I could.
Okay. But then it looks like you were working at the Barrett Jackson auto auction, but then they didn't give you a smoke break, so you quit?
What
happened?
I already had 9 hours in the job. We're working a 14 and a half hour shift.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing my best. I was really working hard and everything. I was being polite and respectful. And the lady that ran this place, like in the past, I mean, we worked at the ASU before, parking cars.
Uh-huh.
And me and her kind of got into it before. So I was trying to do my best anyways at the Barrett Jackson, because she was the one running the show at this one as well.
Right.
I asked her if I could pay to take a smoke break. She said there's no more smoke breaks for you. And I got upset and I told her that I wasn't going to work here no more.
Okay.
Since I couldn't smoke because we still had another 4.5 hours to do of work.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't appreciate it because I thought I was doing real well and I was trying my best.
Okay. All right, then this record shows that you were back to being homeless and at the corner of 16th Street and Buckeye, but then you had some home zone violations because you had the ankle monitor on, and it looks like you kind of were going out of your approved area. So why were you not staying in your area?
To be honest with you, there's a restroom at the Chevron. And I was going over there to use the restroom and stuff, and I was also going over there to get coffee.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then I would go straight back to where I was at. I was at the bus stop on 16th Street, Buckeye,
right
by the Chase Bank.
Mm-hmm.
But the first 2 days that I had went over there, I had originally registered on the southwest corner of 16th Street.
Yeah.
Because when my PO told me if I wasn't in that group home to love one another by that day, and then I was to go register at 16th Street in Buckeye, but I never was told specifically what corner I had to be on.
Okay.
So when I went to the sheriff's office, I told them that I wanted to be on the southwest corner where the stores were, so I could be able to use a restroom,
right,
and get something to eat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, he told me that I'm on the wrong side, that I need to get to the other side.
Oh.
So I did what he told me. But throughout the night, I was leaving to go to the store across the street,
okay,
to use the restroom and stuff. And then, like the last 3 days I was there, I admit that I did show up late, like at 9:30 or so. I was supposed to be there by 9 because of the bus scheduling. And then in the morning, I left like at 4:25, 4:30 instead of 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I was cold out there. I wasn't trying to be out there with no blankets or nothing. I was just sitting there at the bus stop waiting for the bus, basically.
Okay.
9 to 5.
Okay.
So I would just get on the bus and go straight to my mother's house. She lives on 20th Street and Pima. I mean, 20th Avenue and Pima.
Okay.
That's just straight down Buckeye. I was going straight to her house and
okay,
go west or whatnot. And then I would go back over there to 16th Street.
So was there a reason why you didn't get released to your mother's house?
Oh, it's because she lives in Helsing.
Oh, okay, and they won't.
She lives in Helsing.
Yeah, sometimes they won't.
Because of felonies.
Sometimes they won't. Okay. So it looks like you were doing a lot of different work, sir. You were working all kinds of places. We're looks like you worked on Christmas tree lots and spring training and all kinds of stuff. What other jobs did you have?
I was at the ISM Raceway.
Okay.
I was spraying the bleachers and setting up stuff for the people that came to the races for the whole week.
Okay.
And I was doing car washes at the church. I was wearing patriot suits or whatever, and then livery suits, standing on the corners holding signs.
Okay, for cats.
9 hours a day.
Yep.
I was doing a lot of that, and I was doing the pastor's relatives' yards, you know, they had me in charge of the landscaping at the church.
Okay.
And I was going to church a lot. And,
okay, well that's good. Looks like you were responsible to submit some urines, and that was,
yes,
we mentioned one of those earlier in phase one. So you missed a test. Why'd you miss a test there?
Oh, you know what? I had a day calling.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Because we had been real busy. They had me like on 5 jobs in a row. It used to be that he was a day or two off.
Yeah.
But no, I thought, honestly, I did. I thought I called the day before.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I must have missed it. I don't know. But he told me that I was to go UA. And I told him, hey, I'm dirty. I smoke marijuana.
Okay.
I got a marijuana card. See, like, I didn't understand that I had to go take it to him.
Yeah, you have to get that approved. Okay.
I thought that as soon as I got my car, I was able to smoke my
yeah.
car.
Yeah, so okay, so.
That was my bad, because I should have went and took
okay.
it. But yeah, other than that, though, I wasn't doing nothing else.
Okay.
I wasn't drinking or doing other drugs.
So Mr. Fellows,
I really wanted to make it, you know?
And, yeah.
I was going to tell my PO, because I thought he was going to be there. I just got my disability back,
mm-hmm.
So I'm able to get me a place to live.
Oh, good.
If I get reinstated.
Okay.
Even if I don't get reinstated, I still got ways to find me a place when I get out, so I won't have to be homeless. But,
that's good.
Yeah, I got my disability back.
So. Excellent. Okay. So Mr. Valenzuela, it looks like while you've been in prison, you've had quite a lot of discipline. So,
yeah.
So what happens? Why do you get all those disciplines?
It's because there's always people messing with me. I was SMI for a while there.
Okay.
I got taken off on my own, and I stopped taking medication and stuff, and I recently just got a ticket, you know,
from the
kitchen. Yeah, I don't know if it's showing, but the lady that works for the white shirt, she started yelling at me all crazy, and I really got problems, you know what I mean, in my head, so, like, I don't know, I talked to her back the way she talked to me, and I shouldn't have, but
right. Okay.
Yeah, I got in trouble for that just
okay.
recently.
So,
yeah, I get advice because people pick on me.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because of my eye and stuff.
Yeah. So were you taking, mental health meds at one point?
Yes.
And you're not now?
No.
And you feel okay? And
yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Honestly, I read the Bible, and I'm not perfect, but I read the Bible and I ask God to help me, you know.
Okay, sir.
You know what I mean? And,
all right, thank you. I'll see if my...
I'm trying my best to work on my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if my story is working.
I'm tired of wasting my life in there, you know?
Understood. Mr. Turner,
I love it.
Have a comment?
Yes, ma'am. There's a few notes, but I'll read this one. On 2/1/2019, at approximately 1530 hours, P.O. and the unit supervisor, Dan Pareto, pulled the offender's GPS points and contacted him outside his mother's residence, located at 2323 West Pima Street, Phoenix, Arizona. He was taken into custody without incident. The offender was questioned why he failed to comply with his curfew. The offender didn't have an excuse. Additionally, he was questioned why he did not contact P.O. when he received an alert on the GPS device. The offender didn't have an excuse. He initially stated that he broke his cell phone, but admitted that he had full access to another phone and still failed to contact his PO.
Okay, so Mr. Valenzuela, did you not stay in touch with your parole officer?
I had talked to him that Monday of that same week.
Uh-huh.
My phone did break, like on Tuesday it did break. My ankle monitor was paging me.
You know, uh-huh.
And I was just pushing the button. I thought it was just like some kind of like, because when I did go home, it was the first time, and I stayed at my mom's for a few days, my ankle monitor kept buzzing and buzzing, and I thought it was just because he had it set up to where I was at.
Okay.
So that's why I wasn't really responding, and he did ask me how come I didn't call him, and he said that, did you have access and stuff, and I told him, but, you know, I thought maybe you would come to my mom's house because I was going straight to my mom's house every day. And when I left 16th Street in Buckeye,
okay.
I was going straight to my mother's house. And I was charging that ankle monitor, so
okay.
It wasn't like I was trying not to show them where I was at, you know. But I should have called them, you know, You know, my phone did break and it's still broken.
Okay.
I didn't get a new phone.
Okay,
so.
All right.
I was charging my ankle monitor.
Okay. So, Mr. Valenzuela, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you a chance to make a final statement. Is there anything else, without repeating something you've already told us, because you've told us a lot of information, and we sure appreciate that, but is there anything else you'd like the board to consider before we make a decision?
The only thing I'd like to ask you, I've been messing up all my life, and I've been in prison all my life. I really never had a chance to complete that, you know, probably because of my own choices I made, you know. I'm not blaming no one else, but, you know what I mean, I really would like to complete my parole out there on the streets if I could. I got like 49 days left from today, whether I get reinstated or not, but it would be nice to be able to finally complete something and feel that I accomplished something, even if it's just completing from a parole, you know?
Okay, sir.
Plus I got my family out there, you know? My grandma's too sick, and my mom, she's sick too, you know? And, you know, I don't know. I do got my daughter out there, but I haven't had no like physical contact with her yet.
Mm-hmm.
We still...
How old is your daughter? How old is
she? 6 years old.
She's 6 years old. Okay.
Yeah, she's going to school.
Okay.
She's like in the first grade right now.
Right, right, okay.
I got people out there without being known, and...
Well, that's good.
I want a chance to be able to find me complete zones, because...
Okay,
I'm
sir.
I'm not out there committing no new crimes or nothing, you know? I'm not saying I was perfect, because I was, you know, like they said, I was leaving my time zone or zone area and stuff, and that's true and all. And I did have a dirty UA, but I'm not out there committing crimes or doing hardcore drugs or drinking alcohol, or, and I don't intend to do none of that stuff, you know?
Okay, sir.
I just want a chance to find me complete zone if I could, you know?
All right. Mr. Valenzuela, the board is going to go into discussion. We do all our discussion in public, so we just ask you to stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Mr. Valenzuela is certainly a very earnest individual. I think he's very, he seems like he's a hard worker. He's got all these different jobs, which we usually don't see people have that many jobs. And he, because of his crime, he has issues with, you know, like he can't go to his mother's because she's living in housing, and probably, and possibly his grandmother might be the same situation. He's got a daughter out there. I do think he is, he's a very sincere person. And he, the UA that he missed was not for something, was not for heroin or meth or anything like that. It was for marijuana. His mistake, he thought he had just had to have the card and that would be okay. He has quite a long juvenile record. But what I also hear him saying, he really wants the opportunity to actually complete something in life. But my only concern is I'm afraid he might be right back to the same situation where he's out homeless again. And I'm not sure that that's, I would just worry about him a little bit being out there homeless. And, you know, having to deal with, like he explained, being on the wrong corner, you know, which, you know, is a small thing, but he, at least he was there. But he does admit to his violations and isn't trying to hide anything, I don't think, from the board. I'd be interested to hear anybody else's thoughts on this, because I do think he is a sincere person. Mr. Kenyon?
I think he might be best served returning to the community free of the community corrections and having freedom of movement.
I'm kind of
annoyed. I feel like it's almost a recipe for tripping up.
It's almost, it's one more burden that somebody has when they have to work with a parole officer. And, you know, it's one less thing to worry about whether you're on the wrong corner. If, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about any of that. Okay, I'm going to make a motion, and based on information, I'm on 2019-W0323, a conversation with Mr. Valenzuela, information from Mr. Turner. I'm going to move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Valenzuela was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal waste of company, specifically by losing touch with his parole officer and missing UA and using marijuana without prior approval.
Second.
Agreed.
Oops. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed, Dr. Ray, Mr. Quinones, and Mr. Valenzuela, the board has voted to deny or to revoke your community supervision, but I don't want you to take that as a negative, sir. I mean, you kind of said you wish you could complete something. I find you're a very sincere person, sir. I think you're going to do well. It sounds to me like one thing that you have to figure out in your own mind, and maybe you can think about this in the next few months here, or a couple, I don't know, you said 40 some days.
49 days.
49 days, just to be exact. Is think about, a couple of times you said during your testimony, you said that people got it after you, or people got in your face, or people got after, you know, maybe if you think about what would be a different reaction. Instead of you stepping up and getting after him, maybe you can think about a different reaction that will get you a different outcome. But I think you're going to do well, sir. I really do. I think you're a hard worker. I think you're going to be great out there. So this is what you're going to complete. On May 1st of 2019, you're going to complete any obligation you have to the Arizona criminal justice system. On that day, you won't have a parole officer. You won't have to worry about which corner you're on, whether you're on the southwest or the north. You can go anywhere you want. So okay, sir. So I don't want you to see this as a negative. So remain positive. And next time we see you, I hope you're not wearing an orange shirt. I hope it's over at Barrett Jackson or somewhere like that, sir.
Okay?
You have a great day, and this concludes your hearing. If you just lay the phone down and then let that CO know. Thanks, sir.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye.